that's the BBC film music, of course, from the Barry Norman film critics TV show. It'd be Film 91, Film 92, Film 81, whatever year it was. And you probably recognise that music. So we're going to be talking about Barry Norman in a few moments' time to Richard Fitzwilliams, our film critic, who Barry Norman had his memorial service this morning. I found a little clip of Barry Norman back in 1977. Have a listen to this.
But for the real family entertainment at its most sublime, you'll have to wait till after Christmas when Star Wars opens in London. Even by the standards of Hollywood, a place where nothing succeeds like excess, Star Wars is a phenomenon. It only opened in America at the end of May, but already it's the biggest box office hit in cinema history, having grossed the best part of $200 million in the United States alone. Perhaps one important reason for this immense popularity is that it somehow combines elements of all the best-loved themes of romantic adventure, from the Arabian Nights to the Western, from the Knights of the Round Table to science fiction and space fantasy. Alec Guinness, as a sort of elderly space-age Sir Galahad, is the best-known actor in the film, the juvenile leads being played by Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, and Eddie Fisher's daughter Carrie is the kidnapped princess. But the real stars, I fancy, will turn out to be two robots, known as C-3PO and R2-D2.
There we are, Barry Norman there, back in 1977. Good afternoon, Richard Fitzwilliams, how are you?
Well, it's wonderful to hear a part of Barry Norman's reviews, because I've just, as you mentioned, been to his memorial service, yeah. And that really does, it's a wonderful clip. It brings back how beautifully he was able to summarise, you know, the succinct, but also the charm, the wit, fun that you yeah. could have listening to him.
And why not?
something he apparently never actually said. It was associated with him, and then, of course, the title of an excellent autobiography. But it was the panache that he had, his love of film that came across so well.
Yeah, certainly. And, I mean, there's a few... I mean, obviously, be good self. You're my favourite film critic, of course. And there's Mark Kermode, who I quite enjoy listening to as well. But Barry Norman, for me, was fantastic. Like, just the way in which he was describing something that was really fresh to us at Star Wars, that we all know so well now. But he just kind of succinctly hits the nail on the head, doesn't he?
Yes, without talking down, never did he do that. He became almost as though he was a friend who was talking from a set in your home, and yeah. you were privileged to hear views that, well, you knew from someone who absolutely loved film, and if he didn't like what he saw, well, he said so, but he was never especially unkind or particularly no. acerbic. He had a style. It was very interesting hearing tributes from Lord Putnam to Barry Cryer at a memorial service that included Dame Maggie Smith and several luminaries.
Fantastic. So he passed away last year, of course, didn't he? Back it was in the summertime. The BBC don't seem to never carry that on. That came to an end at some point, didn't it? And I always wondered why there wasn't a need for it anymore.
Yes, no, the story behind that, it was quite interesting because his producer gave us talk, and in fact we had Jerusalem sung, but most of the service was in fact speeches, and it was very interesting. He explained what happened. The show got progressively later. Barry yeah. Norman didn't like that because it reduced the audience for obvious reasons. And so when Elizabeth Murdoch tempted him to Sky, he left the BBC. And in fact, in his autobiography, he was scathing about the way the BBC treated him and said that at Sky, although it was obviously very different, the atmosphere was infinitely better, and he took his producer with him.
Okay, so it's such a sad loss, but I'm glad we've still got some great film critics around, like your good self, Richard, and we're going to be looking at a couple of movies again today. And this one, Quiet Place, before we get onto the review, I heard people on Twitter saying, if you're going to watch Quiet Place, will you not eat popcorn behind me? Because it's quite often, cause it's such a quiet film. There's been a bit of controversy over people snacking away on their crisps and so on, and sucking away on their Pepsis behind people while they're trying to watch this film.
Well, actually, I had one, and in fact, I saw it in a public screening as it happens, which is very useful sometimes. And you quite literally, after a short period, they stopped, because this is a movie that grips you. It is a horror film. and it's directed by John Krasinski, who plays the father of the family, the Abbots. Also, his wife is played in Life is Real Life, Evelyn, played by Emily Blunt, who Krasinski is married to. And this, oddly enough, is a movie which unbelievably is produced by a company owned by Michael Bay, the he of the Transformers and wow. Pearl Harbor and so forth. And you've never seen anything like...
You wouldn't have put them two together.
You certainly wouldn't. And I was fascinated by the movie because it's 2020. Very few humans are left alive, and they're being terrorized by a race of blind aliens who are hypersensitive to sound, who hunt them down. And the Abbots, we have the father Lee, played by Krasinski, his wife Evelyn, who's pregnant, played by Emily Blunt, and his deaf daughter Megan, played by Millicent Simmons. And by the most extraordinary coincidence, the second film we'll be talking about shortly, Wonderstruck, also stars Millicent Simmons, who's a deaf actress. And the rest of the family, son Marcus, played by the excellent Noah Jupe, and also Beau, who, we hardly meet him because he disappears after he uses a toy space shuttle with batteries, and that involves noise. Noise, you see, attracts these strange creatures. Mm. And the more this movie continues, it's the eerie way it's told that's so extraordinary, because, of course, they communicate by sign language. Any form of noise will attract monster, which, it's a slightly mischievous film. I won't tear too many holes into its plot, because that would mean giving away rather a lot. But suffice it to say that when Evelyn goes into labor and has to walk down certain stairs ascending to the basement, this is a movie which, every noise may make you jump. What's lurking outside, and indeed, what's happening regarding the children, and what or how is Lee trying to protect them, and how is it possible to cope with this plague, this menace, which has all but destroyed humanity? I mean, it has plenty of knife-edge tension. It has become rather a sort of cult horror movie. I do have to make the point that it is slightly wicked and mischievous at times. I can't reveal its conclusion, but I did feel a little cheated by it. Having said that, it's the movie of the moment, and if you like a sort of horror movie which isn't of the psycho-like, it doesn't absolutely terrify you. Right. You won't be cowering, as I sometimes do, behind my hands watching the top right-hand corner of the screen, then obviously this is for you.
It's not going to win any screenplay awards, then, is it? That's for sure. But is it more about what you don't see in this movie? From what I can see from the clips, I'm not sure how much you want to reveal on this, but it just appears that it's quite psychological it's a bit of a thriller in that respect.
Yes, no, it is a sort of thriller horror, and you're right, the unseen, rather like the Blair Witch Project in some aspects of it, yes. I mean, there is the fact that you're slightly petrified. I cannot pretend that all of it makes total sense. But having said that, it's well enough acted. Noah Jupe is absolutely excellent. And Emily Blunt does the stuff. John Krasinski, he's directed it as well. And he made Michael Bay put money in the right place for once. So that is extraordinary.
Not many movies make total sense. That's one thing I've learned as an avid movie watcher myself. What's the rating out of 5 then, Richard?
I definitely 3.5 for this one. As I say, I wasn't sold on it as everybody has been, or some critics have been, but equally the audience were not chattering. They were silent, and they were pretty rigid by parts of it. It's a very clever idea. There's a weird eeriness to it, and it's surreal enough to attract those who enjoy the sort of movie.
Lovely. Okay, that sounds like something we'll watch. And moving on then to Wonderstruck.
Now, Wonderstruck is absolutely extraordinary. It's a very unusual mystery film from director Todd Haynes, who achieved fame two of his movies, Far From Heaven and Carol, are very well known. And there are two stories in this movie, because Haynes does like directing period movies. And in 1927, Rose, who is played also by Millicent Simmons, who, and she is playing a deaf girl, which Simmons is, runs away from her father's home to find her mother, who is the actress Lillian Mayhew, played by Julianne Moore. Then skip to 1977, the stories are told each story is told in flashback, so yeah, to speak. In 1977, Ben, played by Oakes Fegley, an orphan, runs away from his Minnesota home to find his father. Now, this movie, you're looking at childhood, you're looking at how a child, especially a deaf child, because both Ben and Rose are deaf, lost in the big city, without resources, and also as a form of homage to a city, because whereas a city can swallow you up, it can also draw you in. It can absolutely fascinate you. You see buildings, you see movement, you see crowds, you see people. What is so clever about the way Haynes tells these stories simultaneously is the way that we see the monochrome of the 20s of New York, and then we have a sort of midnight cowboy-like 70s picture of a totally different city, infinitely more vibrant and multicultural and alive. It is fascinating. It's also about childhood, and it's about details. When you think back to your childhood, what mattered to you, what indeed could be a clue, what could lead you to somebody who you really want to find. In Rose's case, her mother, and that's a surprise. And in the case of Ben, what about his father? And also, institutions play an interesting part in this film, and also objects. If you see a child, and how a child, for example, Ben, has been, it's a traumatic experience of a bolt of lightning that has, in fact, led him to be deaf. And wolves play an important part in this. Clues unravel to the various mysteries sought after by these deaf children, and who they meet, and how the big city appears. It's a rather magical experience, especially when New York is not only seen in the 20s and the 70s, but there's also a model of New York that plays a rather important part in this movie.
Yeah.
So it's very clever. It's a subtle, sensitive film.
It sounds like the city is another character in the film.
Very much so. And because you're cutting between two eras, what you've got is a skilled director, even though I have to warn, it is over 2 hours. Having said that, it certainly gripped me as a city lover, but also it's wonderful looking back to childhood and the various memories that you have. This is seen from the point of view, both stories are seen from the point of view of deaf children, and that presents a challenge to the director, but also it draws you into the stories because it's so well told and so well cut and so interesting. It's the way it's edited too, as well as the fact that they're very, very good actors. And the extraordinary thing is the two films starring Millicent Simmons, whose accident, as playing someone who's deaf, I mean, that is indeed extraordinary, and I recommend Wonderstruck to anyone who likes this sort of film.
Yeah. Okay, ratings out of 5 then, Richard Belize.
Oh, we just get 4.5.
Oh, lovely stuff, lovely stuff. So two good movies to watch there, then, that's for sure. That'll keep us busy. What are we looking at next week?
Well, next week we're looking at two LGBT movies. One, BPM, has become rather famous. BPM Beats Per Minute. And the other, Love, Simon.
Okay, Richard, if anybody wants to find you online, how can they do that?
www.richardfitzwilliams.com is my website, and on Twitter, @rfitzwilliams.
Lovely. Richard, have a great week. We'll speak to you soon. You take care.
Thanks so much.
Richard Fitzwilliams there, our movie critic.